Hey there, Diocese of the Rio Grande. This is your weekly update for the last week of Lent 2024. In this weekly update, I'll give you a little health update, and I'm grateful for your prayers. We're going to talk about Holy Week coming up because I don't want you to miss a single moment of Holy Week. And I also want to bring you up to date on an important march and vigil happening this Thursday evening in El Paso, Texas, calling for human treatment of all human beings in the borderlands. Thank you for your prayers and well wishes. I want y'all to know that my health is doing fine. I'm taking the medication. I'm back up to normal energy levels. I'm following the doctor's orders, and I'm basically back to normal. The prognosis is that I should be able to live my normal life in my normal way, and I'm happy about that. My only frustration right now is that I'm not really supposed to be riding the bike outside, and that's cramping my style a little bit. So I'm on the indoor bike more often, but that's boring. So I'm hanging in there. All is well. Thank you for your prayers. Next week is Holy Week. Beginning with Palm Sunday, working all the way through the week into the Easter Vigil on Saturday or Easter Sunday morning, it is the story of creation coming into its fullness. It is the story of evil being put to bed forever. It's the reason why forgiveness of sins is possible. And I want you to experience every bit of Holy Week. So, in this video, I wanted to share with you just a little bit of what I love about each service in Holy Week. We start, of course, with Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is a bizarre liturgy because it compresses the whole of the Holy Week experience, everything except Easter, into one liturgical experience. And it shows the kind of highs and lows of all human life. It shows the danger of mob mentality and groupthink. It shows how the fear of being canceled can happen quickly. It starts, of course, with a blessing of the palms, usually outside if the weather's warm enough. Palm branches or branches from pine trees are brought, and they're blessed. And we process remembering Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, hailed as a king. And there is this kind of celebration. The energy is very high. And then, of course, within that same liturgy, we switch. And by the time we're at the gospel reading, one of my favorite parts of Palm Sunday is the way the gospel is read, often chanted by a choir. And we hear, as it unfolds in a lengthy way, the story of Jesus Christ going from being hailed as a king to being condemned as one fit to die. And all through it, we are invited to think about betrayal, to think about the ways in which we don't tell the truth, the ways in which we tolerate injustice, the ways in which we are sometimes even complicit with doing wrong in the world. Because, you know, it's hard to stand up. We watch Peter deny Jesus three times after being told he would do it and saying, "No, I won't." So I love the Palm Sunday liturgy, and particularly that blessing of the palms moment and how it contrasts quickly into Jesus being canceled and how Jesus faces that betrayal, not with retribution, not with anger, not even with fear. He's aware of what's going on, but still he faces it with love and compassion. One of the blessings of being the Bishop of the Diocese of the Rio Grande is that every Palm Sunday, I'm invited to participate in the blessing of the palms in the plaza in Santa Fe. And the Roman Catholic Archbishop, the First Presbyterian Congregation, all of our congregations march to the plaza where we do the blessing of the palms all together in a beautiful ecumenical feast. We process around the plaza and then return to our respective churches. It's a wonderful feast. If you can join me, I'll be there. Come to Holy Faith in Santa Fe, 10 a.m. on Palm Sunday. That's next Sunday coming up. The early part of Holy Week often seems like a sleeper, but there is a tradition that I want you to know about that we observe here in the Diocese of the Rio Grande. It will happen on Tuesday and again on Wednesday in the diocese, and it is called the Chrism Mass. This is a gathering for all of the clergy of the diocese, but it's not just for clergy. You can come too if you're not a priest or a deacon. Come and join us. It is a Mass that is there for the clergy to reaffirm their vows, the ordination vows that we took when we were ordained as deacons and priests. And we reaffirm those vows, and then we bless the three sacred oils, the oil of chrism, the oil of unction, and the oil of the catechumenate. Each of those oils are blessed in that one Eucharist together, and then each priest takes those oils back into the congregations. And when you are baptized, or when you are confirmed, or when you are visited in the hospital, or when you begin a Christian formation program, the oils are used to bless and sanctify you as you begin that new part of your Christian journey. So at 12 o'clock, the Cathedral of St. John on Tuesday, join us for the Chrism Mass. The following day, join us in El Paso at St. Francis on the Hill Episcopal Church
at 1 p.m.
for the Chrism Mass for the clergy in the South. We are blessed every year by having the Diocese of Navajoland and their clergy come and join us. And this year, we are looking forward to all being together. On Thursday night, we begin what is called the Triduum, the 3 days. And it begins with the liturgy of Maundy Thursday. Maundy Thursday has two major events, and in each church, the priest has a responsibility to figure out how those two themes are blended together. Sometimes we lean it one direction, sometimes we lean it the other direction. The two themes are Jesus Christ giving the mond, the commandment, that you love one another. Jesus gives that commandment. That is where we get the name Maundy Thursday. Jesus gives us that commandment. The second part is the giving of the Eucharist. And the Eucharist, of course, is connected to the giving of the great commandment that you love one another as Christ has loved us, because out of that love comes the giving of the Eucharist, the body and blood of Jesus Christ given for us, that we might have the very love and strength and creativity of the Creator of the universe in our own bodies. There's a third piece, which is actually my favorite part of Maundy Thursday. And that is the stripping of the altars, wherein we remember and often read the text whereby Jesus is betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And as that reading is read and the lights are dimmed, the altar is stripped. All of the beautiful fabrics, the candles, the vestments are stripped away, leaving an altar area as bare as a tomb. And we take the sacrament, the body and blood of Christ, which is normally kept near the altar under a lamp, that sanctuary light which shines, reminding anybody who comes into the church at any time in the day or night that the presence of the risen Christ is here in the sacrament of the body and blood, near that altar. All of it is stripped away. The ombre where the sacrament is kept is left open. And we process the sacrament, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, to a garden, or we make a garden in a side chapel, and then we keep vigil overnight in response to Jesus' request of the disciples, "Will you not stay with me for 1 hour?" I love that stripping of the altars and the removal of the sacrament into the garden of repose, because it reminds us of how close God is, but also how often we are tempted to, or it's easy to just forget, and we remove the living presence of Christ. We don't keep Christ in the center. We push Jesus off to the side. Maundy Thursday is wonderful. Make sure you don't miss your Maundy Thursday. And then, of course, follows Good Friday. Good Friday is traditionally a fast day in the church. Sometimes people fast. I usually fast and don't eat anything from the time when I wake up until 3 p.m., the time when Jesus died on the cross. And the liturgy for Good Friday, sometimes celebrated in the noon hour, sometimes a three-hour-long remembrance of all that Jesus went through on the day of his death. It's hard to say that there's a favorite thing about that painful Good Friday experience, but I will say that it moves me every year as I contemplate my own death, but also as I contemplate a world without God. Many people today say, oh, God is dead, or God is not real, or you all religious people are believing in a fairy tale. We all, as people of faith, on Good Friday, after the death of Jesus, when the body of Jesus is taken down and put into the tomb, we are invited to remember what it would be like if God were not alive in our lives. And then, of course, comes Holy Saturday. Holy Saturday is one of my favorite liturgies. It's very short, it's very sweet, but it focuses in and again helps focus our attention on the fact that it didn't just go from the cross to the resurrection like that. When you are broken or hurt and you need to recover, it doesn't just go like that. When your heart is broken and you lose your way, it doesn't just go like that to healing. When you're struggling to forgive, it's not just quick forgive and forget. No, there is a tomb involved, and Jesus Christ was there. Holy Saturday is often celebrated in a vigil. Sometimes people go out to the churchyard in order to celebrate the liturgy of Holy Saturday. It's not a requirement that it be led by a priest or a deacon, so if you're not able to get to church on Holy Saturday, open up your Book of Common Prayer. The liturgy is right there in the Easter sequence. You can do the liturgy for Holy Saturday in your own home. It is a remembrance that Jesus, in fact, lay dead, that God, in fact, did die. This wasn't just he wasn't just having a pratfall. He wasn't just pretending to be dead. He wasn't just sort of on a holiday for a little bit. He was dead, stone cold dead. Lying in a tomb dead, dead like you and I will be one day. So celebrate, participate in the Holy Saturday. And if you follow the whole sequence from Palm Sunday through to the Chrism Mass, through Maundy Thursday and the stripping of the altars into Good Friday, Holy Saturday, then your heart will be yearning for resurrection. You will be longing to reacquaint yourself with the living God. And you will be ready for Easter. The Easter vigil happens in many of our churches. It starts in the evening on Saturday evening or in the darkness of the early morning on Sunday. It's a series of readings that remind us of all of salvation history. It's a traditional time in which people are baptized or confirmed. If you've got a Easter vigil in one of the Episcopal churches near you, I encourage you to go this year. If you've never experienced it, go and experience it. It's a liturgy that starts in darkness. And then as the resurrection comes, the light bursts in and we sing hallelujah, and often bells are rung and the organ, which has been quiet often for much of the week, comes to life. And then, of course, there's Easter Sunday. Hallelujah, feasting. A celebration that God is not in fact dead, that the living presence of God is alive and moving in and through us, and our whole church community celebrates that together. My friends, don't just go to Easter. Start on Palm Sunday and go to everything you can go to all through Holy Week. Change your daily pattern. Skip the soccer practice for the kids so you can go to church. This is our holy festival week, and I encourage you to observe it because it'll change your life. I want to make a special invitation for all Episcopalians in the Diocese of the Rio Grande to join me in El Paso this Thursday at 6:30 p.m. in San Jacinto Park in downtown El Paso. There will be a march entitled, Do Not Be Afraid, a march for human dignity in the borderlands. And that march will go for about a couple hours from 6:30 p.m. into the evening, and it will be followed by a vigil at Sacred Heart Cathedral there in downtown El Paso. As you all know, border policy is a huge thing going on in the politics of the United States right now. Well, this is a theological and ethical and moral call that we have policies that reflect human rights, that respect the dignity of every human being, in the words of our Book of Common Prayer. We're not asking for people to break the law. What we're asking for is for all people to be treated with human dignity. I'm going to be there. I'm grateful to our Roman Catholic friends, and particularly Bishop Seitz, who has helped to organize this whole event. If you're able to be there in El Paso on Thursday, 6:30 p.m. in San Jacinto Plaza, look for me. I'll be there. Let's try to make sure that all human beings are treated with dignity in our diocese along the borderlands. That's your weekly update for this last week of Lent 2024. God bless you, Diocese of the Rio Grande. Thank you for your faithfulness and your prayers, and I'll be seeing you around the diocese.